Unreal. Katie Patterson, IQ 107. Well, it was official, confirmed by the vet. Beatrice wasn't dying. She wasn't even some evil demon dog dumped into the world for the purpose of ruining my life. She had a reason for her nasty behavior. The Chow Chow was as pregnant as I was. I never thought I'd say this, but she had my sympathy. And that was pretty pregnant. Dr. Orsini said Beatrice might even whelp before I did. That came out wrong. Beatrice was the one who would be whelping. I would be giving birth. And while I knew exactly who the father was, the jury was still out on Beatrice. Odds were, we were about to welcome a litter of serious mongrels. And if you've ever seen a Chow Chow, you'll know they don't mix well with any other breed. So the Westminster Kennel Club was out. I still hadn't worked up the nerve to tell Brad, even though the whole fiasco was his mother's fault, not mine. To be honest, I didn't like to distract him with the kind of problems that would seem silly to someone fighting a war. Plus, he'd been emailing me about how relaxed and happy I seemed lately, and I didn't want to spoil it by dumping this big matzo ball in his lap. From First Lieutenant H. Bradley Patterson, United States Marine Corps. Honey, you're the best. I know this has been a stressful time, with me away and the baby coming. What's your secret? My secret? Reality check. I felt like I'd swallowed an anvil and it was lodged behind my belly button. I'd gained 32 pounds. A stiff wind was enough to knock me off balance. I had to sit so far back from the dinner table, I needed a telescope to see my food. My legs were covered with varicose veins, my back ached, my skin had broken out, thanks to my raging hormones. I couldn't allow myself to be more than 60 feet from a bathroom. Yeah, I felt wonderful. Was it the news that the dog wasn't dying? Huh! Just because Beatrice was okay didn't mean she wasn't driving me nuts. For the past month, she'd had no appetite at all. Now she was eating us out of house and home. She had no bladder control, so the carpet was a minefield. She was antisocial to everyone except Donovan. And her new hobby was disappearing. The last time she vanished, it took an hour to find her curled up inside a bale of pink insulation in the furnace room, and longer than that to pick the fiberglass fragments out of her coat. I'd moved back in with my parents and kid brother, a world away from my husband, who was fighting in a war zone. My life stunk, no doubt about it. But Brad was right. He had read between the lines of my emails. I was relaxed, even happy, positively serene. Why? It had to be human growth and development. For some reason, it was like therapy. Only instead of telling my innermost secrets to some high-priced shrink, I was spilling my guts to Donnie's Geek Patrol, for free. Trust me, I could have killed my brother when he blackmailed me into serving as their class pet, like a lizard in a glass terrarium. It would have been uncomfortable enough in front of normal kids, but to be stared at by these geniuses with their Coke bottle glasses and analytical frowns, it was like being dissected and having your vital organs spread out on slides. At first, I had to pretend I was floating above my body and that was somebody else down there being studied. But then there was this one morning when I got out of bed and stepped right into one of Beatrice's puddles. By the time I got that sopped up, my spine felt like the disc spaces were filled with lava. But my mother only wanted to talk about the wonky pilot light in the furnace. So I wrote an email to Brad that was so full of whining and complaining, you could have set it to music. I deleted it without sending. Reality check. The poor man was risking his life every day. He didn't need to hear my problems. That was when I glanced at my watch and realized that I was counting the minutes until I could go to the academy and lay out my complaints to the only people who seemed to be interested. Chloe, Abigail, Latrell, JC, Kevin, even Noah. They'd understand because they understood everything. They knew more about me than my husband. They knew more about my pregnancy than my doctor. And they were a lot easier to reach than either of them. When friends took me out to dinner and I was unsure whether or not it was safe to eat oysters, I texted Chloe. I had the answer I needed. Cooked okay, raw never. Within 30 seconds. When I noticed an odd chemical on the ingredient list of my shampoo, I emailed Abigail, who was able to tell me it was just a harmless preservative. When I became alarmed by a strange rash on my belly, I had the perfect resource to turn to. I watched Noah's YouTube video, Stomach of Champions, which proved that the skin had been like that for weeks. How had I survived without those guys? Until human growth and development, I hadn't realized how alone I was, even among my own family. Going to those medical appointments was like walking the Tour de France route, up steep hills and over broken roads, all by myself. But when I saw the minibus parked outside the clinic, my spirits soared because I knew I had a team with me, even if it was a robotics team. One day, the bus broke down on the way to the office. Dr. Manolo wouldn't start the appointment until the kids had arrived. He forwarded Oz listserv emails from the American Congress of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. This class wasn't just going to pass human growth and development. They were going to be qualified to teach it. All except Donnie. If there was one of them who didn't have a clue, it was my lunkhead brother. What was he doing with these brilliant, motivated students? That was the biggest reality check of them all. Was it that as his sister I couldn't see how gifted he really was? Or did he just not care about this course because he already had the credit? We were replaying the results of my fetal echocardiogram, watching the image of my baby's tiny heart beating on the smart board. It was entrancing. Chloe was almost in tears at the beauty of it. Abigail scribbled pages of notes, all without looking away from the screen. Noah had the flip cam trained on the monitor, so I knew this would be on YouTube in Kandahar before I got home that day to warn Brad that it was coming. The whole class, including the teacher, was fascinated. All but Donnie. He was bored out of his mind, struggling to keep his butt in his chair, and he lost the struggle, jumping up and mumbling, "Going to the bathroom." He practically galloped out of the room. A few minutes later, a couple of visitors walked into the lab, and Oz paused the video. I knew one was the principal, Mr. Del Rio. The other looked like a congressman, or some other kind of big shot, an older guy in a very snazzy suit. He walked right up to me, smiled warmly, and held out his hand.
"I'm Dr. Schultz, superintendent of the Hardcastle Schools. I came specifically to meet you, Mrs. Patterson, and thank you for what you're doing for this class."
That's why he looked familiar. He used to be the principal at North High when I was a cheerleader at Hardcastle. He's the jerk who lodged a complaint that our uniforms were too minimalist. He'd been a stuffed shirt back then, and it didn't seem as if that had changed now that he had the top job. But all that was in the past, especially my cheerleading career. I was a mature adult, almost a mother. I shook his hand. "I'm happy to do it. They're great kids." Dr. Schultz went on for a while. How selfless I was. People should follow my example. My brother was so grateful. Blah, blah, blah. He seemed to think that A, Donnie needed the credit I was providing, and B, Donnie was actually here and not in the bathroom. Neither Oz nor Mr. Del Rio corrected him, though. I guess you don't interrupt a superintendent, even when he hasn't got his facts straight. Then Donnie made his return. At least he started to. His head poked in through the doorway. His eyes widened in horror at the sight of Dr. Schultz, like I was standing with Count Dracula, not the superintendent of schools. Donnie backed up and was gone in a heartbeat.
No one else noticed him. For sure, Schultz didn't. I don't claim to be an expert, but I knew my brother. He was scared to death of the guy. Something was up. The class went on to show Dr. Schultz some of the work we'd been doing. He seemed impressed by the echocardiogram and the sonogram footage, but he didn't have much patience for Noah's new breathing technique. The superintendent had begun glancing impatiently at his watch. Noah wasn't offended. "That's okay, you can watch it on my personal YouTube channel, Eucalicious." "Let us introduce you to Tin Man, at least," Oz offered. He looked around for his designated driver. "Where's Donovan? Not on another one of his extended bathroom breaks." "Some other time," Dr. Schultz said briskly. He turned to me. "Thank you once again, Mrs. Patterson. You're a credit to the Hardcastle community." And he and the principal slipped out of the lab. I waited a few minutes and then took a bathroom break of my own. Once in the hall, I headed straight for the boys' room, figuring my brother would be holed up there. I threw open the door and broadcast a warning. "Big stomach waddling in." "There's nobody here but us toilet paper," was the timid reply. "You can come out now, Donnie. The guy's gone." He emerged from a stall, wearing a guilty look that I'd seen a million times before. I folded my arms, resting them on the shelf that my stomach now formed. "All right, out with it." He looked haunted. "You don't want to know." "Of course I don't want to know, but I think I have to." Not even growing up in the same house with Donnie could have prepared me for the story I heard next. Donnie, the Atlas statue, the Hardcastle gym. As reality checks go, this one had me pinching myself to see if I was hallucinating. It wasn't impossible, you know. On rare occasions, the chemical changes of pregnancy have been known to bring on psychotic episodes. I got that from Noah himself. I heaved a sigh. "And you had the nerve to blackmail me over something as insignificant as a sick dog who wasn't even sick? That's low." He shrugged miserably. "I'm sorry, but I'm trying to make myself a part of this class. They need you, so they're stuck with me, regardless of how ungifted I am." "Your teachers are going to notice that you don't measure up," I pointed out gently. "They already noticed. They had me retested. I passed."
"No way!"
He reddened. "Well, it wasn't really me. Somebody hacked into the computer I was using and did the test for me. Honest, I had nothing to do with it. I don't even know who it was." I groaned. "That's worse. You've taken one of those brilliant students and corrupted him. Or her." I thought of Chloe, who seemed to be my brother's biggest fan. "Well, what choice did I have?" he demanded, practically whining.
"Bevilacqua already raked me over the coals, trying to get me to confess."
"Did you ever consider going to Dr. Schultz and owning up?" He was outraged.
"Oh, sure, and Mom and Dad will collect soda bottles to get the money to fix the gym."
I was astounded. "Who said we'd have to pay?"
"Come on, Katie. I may not be gifted, but I read the papers. The district is getting stiffed by the insurance company. Somebody has to pick up the tab. Why not the guy who did it? I can't lay all that on Mom and Dad. Not with money so tight, and Brad out of the picture, and you moping around big as a whale. Even the dog went and made more problems. This is the worst possible time for me to add to all that."
I was thunderstruck, staring at my idiot brother with a new respect. This was the first indication I'd ever had that Donnie was aware of anybody besides himself. It jarred me down to my swollen ankles. "Give me some time to mull this over," I told him. "I'd like to get Brad's opinion. Maybe he'll have an idea how we can explain all this to Dr. Schultz."
"Tell him to come quick," Donnie advised, "and bring his tank."
And right there, in the bathroom where I didn't belong, in the academy where he didn't belong,
The two of us shared a brother-sister hug.
Reality check.
Dad kept a picture on his desk of the last time that happened. Disney World, 2002. I was 16. Donnie was 3.